We're continuing in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chafei Amud Beis, and we left off yesterday with a discussion that the Gemara seems to say, at least according to Rashi, that when Beis Din are Mekadesh the Chodesh, their Kiddusha, their Kiddush, has to be Chal on something. Rashi says if they saw it at night, so then if they, tomorrow morning, Al Mayakadshu, what will they be Mekadesh on? Now, whatever this Rashi means, somehow it means that when you hear testimony, then the Kiddush goes on that testimony. According to that, we can better understand the Gemara we saw earlier. The Gemara says that when Rebbe wanted to fabricate a Kiddush HaChodesh, or when a court wants to fabricate a Kiddush HaChodesh, they get two witnesses to come to the court and say, we saw the moon, even though they didn't. And then the courts will say, Mikudash, Mikudash, Mikudash. So we have to wonder, what do you need the witnesses for? You're lying anyways. What do you care if the witnesses lie, the courts lie? No, it's all a game. But according to this, it's understood. There has to be this system of testimony and Kedusha that's chal on the testimony. Are your testimonies a lie? Okay, so what? That's a technicality. But you try to minimize the problems. So instead of just having the courts declare Mekudash, Mekudash, and maybe the courts couldn't declare it without the testimony, according to what we're saying now. They have to declare it on something. They didn't see the moon, but at least they heard the testimony. Aye, technically the testimony is a lie. Okay, technically the testimony is a lie. You with me? Okay, back to our Gemara. We're up to three lines before the lines get really wide. Ra'u shlosha ve'en beitin yamdu shnayim ve'yoshivu mechavreim etzel hayachid. If three people saw the new moon and they themselves are Beis Din, so two should stand and testify, and then they should bring in another few people to make up the courts, and that's how they should sanctify the moon. Amai. Same question we asked before. What do you need a new court for? Let them, they sort. Let them sanctify it. Maybe you'll tell me same answer. They saw it at night. They couldn't do it. Then why repeat the same case? You just told me that about the previous case. Answers the Gemara. No, you're right. We'll answer the same answer. We'll say that really they saw it at night. That's why they couldn't sanctify it. The next morning they have to testify. So what's the chiddush? You just told me that. No, the chiddush is that you need a court of three to sanctify the moon. You can't have a court of one. Sad kadaita chamina, because you might have thought ho'il vitnan dinei mamonot b'shlosha. Being that when it comes to monetary matters, we have a halacha that although you should have a court composed of three judges, if you have an individual that has been designated as the court expert, everyone knows he's the expert in monetary matters. So if he's been designated, he's the judge and the jury, so then he could judge. So you might think, just like in monetary matters, there can be situations where you could have only one judge. Maybe when it comes to sanctifying the moon, we should also allow for one judge for the sanctification. That's what the Mishnah came to tell us. Even though you have two witnesses who are themselves judges, you need to have a court composed of three judges to sanctify the new month. Wait, says the Gemara. Maybe that's a good point. Maybe you should have only a court of one. How do you know you need three on court? Says the Gemara, there is no greater expert than Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem tells Moshe, if you want to sanctify the new moon, you got to have Aaron with you. And we have a rule that a court is never an even number. So in case there's an argument, you always have to have an odd number. So that's how you end up with three. דכתיב, ויאמר השם אל משה ולאהרון בארץ מצרים, לאמור החודש הזה לכם. השם said to Moshe and Aaron in Egypt, this is the month that you will sanctify, this is your first month. Okay, so from this pasuk we derive, it was specifically Moshe with Aaron. There has to be a minimum of two, and if that's a minimum of two, so we say court always has to be an odd number, so that brings us up to three. Okay. Lemeim hade edna sadayan. Sorry? Yeah.
Isn't that a problem sometimes we can't refer to different things from a single suit? We said before this person said father and son can be just more hundreds of
people. Okay.
So we're bringing to a lot from a single suit.
Well, the question is which word teaches us what? But it's a good question. It's a good question. You're right. Didn't Tosis over there? Someone over there asked that. Abu Gno. Yeah. Someone asked that over there. Abu Gno, yeah. Someone asked that, I don't remember. I don't remember. I don't remember. I have to look. Tough, I have to look. It's a good question. Maybe it's in the Mefarshim Mishnah. Remind me, Mitzvah, afterwards we'll look. Okay. So now the Gemara asks another question. What we're saying now is that you can have a judge who actually saw the new moon. L'meimra de'edna asadayan. Do you mean to tell me that someone who could actually testify in the case is kosher to be a witness? So then our Mishnah is a stam Mishnah against the opinion of Rabbi Akiva or Ditanya? Sanhedrin sheru echad sharag et hanefesh. Mitzatam nasim edim u'mitzatam nasu deinim divrei Rabbi Tarfon. If the court, the high court, saw a murder, so then part of them will testify and part of them will judge. That's Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. Rabbi Akiva omer, kulam nasim edim. Rabbi Akiva says, no, they all saw it, they all witnessed it. So they're all witnesses, ve'ned nasa dayan. So a witness can't be one of the judges. So maybe our Mishnah that permits the people of the court to judge on the new moon, even though they all witnessed the new moon, maybe our Mishnah is a stam Mishnah against the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And says the Gemara, Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Akiva hatam. Ela v'dinei nefashot. Drachmana amar v'shafetu ha'idah v'yitzilu ha'idah. When does Rabbi Akiva say, I am not willing to have someone who witnessed the crime be a judge on the crime? That's with regard to crimes that involve life and death. The Torah says that the courts have to enter it not only with an open mind, but with an inclination to vindicate the person. Courts have to approach each case with an attitude, let's find the person not guilty. Now once this court saw the murder, they are incapable of approaching it positively. So Rabbi Akiva says, being that the courts have to have a positive attitude and they have to try and find the guy not guilty, if they witness the murder, I assume they won't be able to do that. So that's why Rabbi Akiva says, once they witness the crime, they can't be the judges. Rabbi Akiva wouldn't hold that in our case. There's no crime here. And therefore, אבל הכה אפילו רבי עקיבא מודה. In our case, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that the court that saw the new moon can also judge the new moon because there's no problem. Clear? Tzalo, clear? Okay. Mishnah. כל השופרות כשרים חוץ משל פרה מפני שהוא קרן. Doesn't matter if it's a ram or a ubex or wherever you get your shofar, it's kosher. The exception is a cow's horn, because the cow's horn is not a shofar, but rather in Hebrew it is called a keren, or a horn. I don't know how you translate shofar and keren, but okay. Amar Rabbi Yossi, v'alo kol ha-shofarot niku keren. Rabbi Yossi says, how can you tell me that's not kosher? All shofars were called keren. Shneimar b'mshoch b'keren ha-yovel. It says when you blow the yovel, yovel is a shofar. A shofar is taken off a yovel, a ram's horn, and yet it's called a keren. So you see the term keren can be used about a ram's horn as well. So that shouldn't disqualify the cow's horn. Shapir kama Rabbi Yossi l'Rabbanan. Shapir kama Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi's argument seems to be a good argument. V'Rabbanan. So what do the rabbis answer? Kol shofarot iku shofar v'iku keren. They say, yeah, you're right. All horns were called keren in that pasuk. Tepara keren iki shofar lo iki. But a cow's horn is only called a keren. It does not have the title shofar. Dechtiv bechor shoro hadar lo v'kanei reim karnav. So you see, the cow's horn, the ox's horns, are called karnei reim. So you see, it's only called a keren.
Right. This pasuk shows
us
that a cow's horn is called a keren. It doesn't say that. It's not illustrating that it's never called a shofar.
Okay. Okay, it's a good question. Rabbi Yossi amar lach depara nami ikri shofar. Rabbi Yossi says no. You see that a cow's horn is also called the shofar. Dichtiv v'titav l'shem mishol par im shor lama par v'im par lama shor. The pasuk says, my prayer is better than a shor and a par. Now, shor is an ox, par is a cow. So what does the pasuk mean to say? My prayer should be more accepted than a shor and a par. If you want to say shor, what'd you say par for? If you meant to say par, what'd you say shor? Ba'ela mai shor par mi shofar. No, Sir Rabbi Yossi says, what it means is, my prayer should be more accepted before Hashem than a shofar. Shofar there's a play on words. Shofar is shofar. Rabbanan, kidrav matna, damar of matna, my shofar, shuhugadol kipar. So Rabbanan say, no. The idea is that shofar is a reference to an ox that's so big, explains Rashi. Shor shehu par b'yom shenikra shor haya gadol kepar. Zehu shor shel maaseh bereshit shebayom shenivra nivra bekomato veshor ben yomo karui shor shenemar shor chesev oez ki yivaled upar eino nikra ad ben shalosh. So a shor, from the minute it's born, it's called a shor. Only once it's 3 years old can it get the title par. Par means 3 years old and up. Shor is from the day it's born. So far, so good. So, David Amel says, my prayer should be more accepted than a shor, which includes even a one-day-old ox. Par, three-year-old. What's it talking about? He means to say, my prayer should be more accepted than the ox, which was 3 years old when he was 1 day old. Which ox was 3 years old when it was 1 day old? That's the ox that was created in Maaseh Bereishis. We saw earlier that the first of each species that were created was created mature. That God didn't create a baby ox. God created a huge ox, a mature ox. God didn't create Adam a baby. God created Adam mature, a 20, 25-year-old, young, vibrant man. Yeah? So everything God created in Maisa Bereishis, God created mature. God didn't create, yeah?
Okay. So, I'm just wondering why David has to specifically wants to talk about a short. He wants a big cow, he could just say par, and then he's got a big cow.
His point is, my prayer should be more acceptable to you, more beloved before you, than even the first creation. He wants to say a big animal, so he says, the big animal, the perfect big animal that you yourself created. His point is, it's both a shul and a par. It's a shul because it was just one day old. It's
about a
right. That's what David is coming
so
to say.
I can say that that's a shul par. That's we can only find a shul par.
That's a machloket, whether it's shofar or shofar. Chachamim who say shofar are saying it's not a shofar. Rabbi Yossi says it is a shofar. Whoever says shofar doesn't say shofar. Whoever says shofar doesn't say shofar. Yeah? Okay. There's a lot of room to think here about what's going on here. Shor and par. This Gemara has a lot of depth. And the idea that David HaMelech is saying, my prayer should be more desired before you than shor, par, and shor is Esav, and Shor is Yosef, corresponding to Esav. Shor ben Yomo karui Shor. A one-day-old Shor is called a Shor. Esav, when he's 1 day old, is also called Asui. He's a self-made man from day one. And that's part of the strength of Esav. And there's a consistency in Esav, that Esav corresponds to the sun. Israel is the moon that wanes and waxes. Esav is the sun, constant. Every day it shines. The differences in the sun are minuscule compared to the differences in the moon. That's Esav. That's that shining light. That's that consistency. That's the shore, the consistent shore. And the corresponding, who's the one who's going to take Esav down? David HaMelech. How does David HaMelech take down Esav? With his tefillot, Hakol Kol Yaakov. His tefillot, he says, should be greater than shore, par, which could mean shofar, which we discussed is the most pure of prayers, that shofar is just a wail, it's just a cry. Or it could be, my tefillot should be stronger than shofar, which might be a reference to Esav. David HaMelech is the yad that fights the yad al keiska. Yad al keiska is Amalek, right? Yad is gematria David, right? David is, so to speak, Hashem's hand in the world that fights them. What does he fight them with? With the Ruach Memalila, with the uplifted spirit, with the Yisrael, with the Li Rosh, with the capacity to be above, to be above everything that's going on down here. Like we discussed in the Parsha, that's Avram versus Nimrod. That they both use their speech. Nimrod uses it, Limrod, Nimrod, let us rebel. That's Nimrod. What's Avram? Avram, our master, is Ram, is above everything. What's Avram talking about all the time? Hashem is above everything. Avram uses his speech to advance humanity. That's a strength of Kol Kol Yaakov. And that's maybe also needs to be discussed a little bit about par and why paro and para. But okay, all this is speculation. Okay, back to our Gemara.
Very nice.
Who knows? Okay. Well, because David is the nemesis of Edom. David is also Admoni, only David is Yefei Einayim. David is the one that wipes out Edom, and it's Mashiach ben David who will finish off the job with Edom. So when David says, my tefillot should be better than shofar, so maybe this pasuk has much more to say, and maybe there's much more to this discussion of the shofar, which is the ultimate tefillah, and that we're going to learn about the shofar dafka from David, and the term that David uses for to encompass all of his tefillot, means Mirot Yisrael. Yeah? Okay, maybe. Who knows, maybe. Back to our Gemara. Ula amar haynu taimed Rabbanan. Ula said, when Rabbanan say that the cow is called the Karen, and that's why it's not kosher, and the other shofros are. The reasoning of Rabbanan is kid Rav Chista. Damar Rav Chista. Mipnei man kohen gadol nichnas bevigdei zav lifnai velifnim. Why doesn't the kohen gadol enter the Holy of Holies with gold clothing? Why does the Torah say he should wear different clothing, white clothing? Mipnei man kohen gadol nichnas bevigdei zav lifnai velifnim la'avod avodah. Lefi she'en katego nasa sanego. Because the prosecutor cannot become the defendant. The gold corresponds to the egel, shofar of a para. Well, that's also a kategor. That comes from the para, the cow. So here there's a big discussion. How does that work? You do take the blood of the cow and sprinkle it inside. That doesn't bother anyone, right? The blood of the cow is sprinkled inside on Yom Kippur to sanctify, to atone for the Kohanim. The blood of the cow, that's okay. Okay, fine. So this ain't kategor, nasas anigol is a discussion in the Rishonim. When you apply it, we're seemingly applying it to dinim d'oraisa here. Velo, vayik adam par. So the Gemara says, wait a second, you don't want the cow's horn. So why do you use the blood of the cow? So the Gemara answer is a little different than you were saying. Hoil v'ishtani ishtani. You don't see the cow in it. The horn, you see the horn. The cow, you don't see the cow in the blood. Vayika aron v'kaporet v'kruv. Yeah? You do have gold in the Holy of Holies. You have the aron, the kapores, the kruvin. Answers the Gemara. Chote bal yakriv kamrinan. Don't bring something that you sinned with before Hashem. Hashem says, make me gold and silver over there. That's because that's Hashem's cheshbon. But for us to bring forward gold into the Holy of Holies or using a cow, so that's not right. And again, here you could apply a whole bunch of things that we discussed about the shofar and the shofar being tefillah and the egel being the pgam in tefillah. Instead of talking directly to Hashem, they take an egel, they take an intermediary, and you could apply here everything we discussed about Baal Peor and Moshe's kvura corresponding to Baal Peor, and the idea that Moshe, no one knows where Moshe is buried. You guys remember we discussed this in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer? Yes, no, maybe so. Okay, let's leave it. We've said enough. Let's move forward. Right, so there's a toaster somewhere that discusses that. I don't remember. Okay. Okay, says the Gemara, Vaika kapu machta. Why do we use shovel We use this big spoon, I don't know what they call that, to bring in the ktores, and you use a shovel to bring in the coals, and they're made of gold. How come you're bringing that into the Holy of Holies? Yeah, what I mean is, the Kohen Gadol shouldn't glorify himself with gold and silver when he's coming in. If he's using it as a tool to carry the coals, that's okay. But you don't glorify yourself with something that's arouses the memory of your sins. Never heard of that. You see, the Kohen Gadol wore gold clothing outside the Holy of Holies. So it doesn't seem to be so. Veika bigdei zahav mi bachutz. Oh, Mr. Gemara asks what you're asking. If you tell me not to glorify, how come he wears it outside? Answer me bivnim kamrinan. That's what you see. What we answered. But the whole idea is inside. You're going into the Holy of Holies. Don't do that. Now you'll ask me why. I don't know why. It's what the Gemara says. I don't know. And again, we're giving here svaros and dinim doraisa, which bichlal needs work. What's going on here? You know, the Torah says he has to change clothing. So what does the svara have to do with it? So, okay.
Isn't that what they asked? Didn't we ask why do we blow shofar?
There is a Gemara that asked that, yeah? What's the Gemara's answer? Rachmana amal tekau. The Torah says blow shofar. What are you asking me? What do you blow shofar for? So the Gemara says, yeah, what I meant to ask is why do you blow shofar when you're sitting, if you're going to blow shofar again when you're standing? That's in order to confuse the sun. Okay. Back to our Gemara. So the Gemara says, okay, so what are you telling me? That the Kohen Gadol wears gold clothing outside because that's outside. So then wait a second. So then shofar nami mi bachutzu. Where do I blow shofar? I'm blowing that outside. So how come there you're suddenly worried about in kategor nas is a senegor? That's not done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So why is that irrelevant, svara? Answer: kivan de lezikaronu kibifnim dami. The shofar is used to arouse our memory. So then, something that's used to arouse our memory before the Creator, that's like going lifnai v'lifnim. Okay. Whatever that means. Vatana mibneshu kevin kama. What are you giving me this logic of in kategor nasa senegor? The Mishnah says why you can't use a shofar of a cow. The Mishnah says, because it's called a keren, so why are you giving me other reasons? Says the Gemara, chada ve'od kama, chada den kategor nasa senegor, ve'od mibneshu keren. Yeah, the Tana meant to say this is another good reason. But the first reason you don't use it is what's not written in the Mishnah. The first reason is en katego nasa senego. V'Rabbi Yossi amalach tikamret en katego nasa senego hanimili mibifnim v'ayshofar mibachutzu. In response to your first claim, well, that's only in the Holy of Holies. You're not blowing the shofar in the Holy of Holies, so I don't agree with the svar of Enka Tegon Asas Anigo outside the Holy of Holies. You claim it's called a Keren. So I'm telling you all shofars were called Keren. So that's answer number two. Yes? Answer number three. Abaya Marainu Tamayud Rabbanan. What's the rabbi's answer? Why do they say other shofars are okay? Shofar amar Rachman avlo shnayim v'shlosha shofarot. V'ad depara, kevan dekai, gildi gildi mitchazik shnayim v'shlosha shofarot. The Torah said shofar, and not two or three shofros. And the way a cow's horn grows, every year it adds another layer, and you could see that there's another layer added. So it ends up looking like two or three shofros that were glued together. What are you telling me? That the Mishnah says we disqualify a cow's horn because it's called Keren. What are you giving me other reasons for? So Abai says, yeah, It's one reason, and another reason. The Mishnah tells you the second reason. Rabbi Yossi Amar Lach, the Kamri Shofar Chad Marachman of Loshnai Mishlosha Shofarot. Kevan de Mechabri Adadi, Chadu. You're telling me you're supposed to use only one shofar? Well, it's all attached. That's called one shofar. What do I care that it looks like it's three pieces? At the end of the day, it grew together. So that's called one shofar. You tell me it's a keren, I'll tell you all shofars were called keren. So that's the third pshat in what's going on here. How do you know that the word yovel means a ram? Titania. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Kshalachti la Ravia. Rabbi Akiva said, when I went to Arabia, when they'd have a shofar, a ram's horn, they'd call it yovel. That's what they called it, yuvla. So when we have the word yovel, we learn from them linguistics that yovel means a ram's horn. V'amar Rabbi Akiva, shalachti legalia, you korin lenida galmuda. They'd call a woman who was menstruating, they'd call her galmuda. My galmuda, gmula dami bala, galmuda is a play on words. Gmula dami bala. She is separated from her husband. So that's what they call a nida. Nida literally means distanced one. And, or else nida could mean flowing. Me nida. Something that's emanating. Here he says that nida, they'd call a nida galmuda. They used to call the ma'a, they'd call it kesita. Says in the Torah, me'a kesita. We'll read it soon. So you see that when it says me'a kesita deoraita, that's going to be me'a danki. That me'a kesita is me'a ma'a. You see, in Africa, they called a ma'a kesita. So when the Torah says me'a kesita, you know that it means 100 ma'a, otherwise known as 100 danki. Amar Rebbe, kshalachti l'kacha hayam, hayu korin l'mechira kira. They used to call a sale kira. L'mayin afka mina, l'perushe asher kariti li. Based on that, you can understand what Yaakov Avinu was saying, asher kariti li miyad emori, that it means I purchased from the emori. Amar b'shima ben lakish, shalachti l'tchum ken, nishaoya, hayu korin l'kala ninfe. When I went to this place, they used to call a bride ninfe. Velitanegol sechvi, and they'd call a rooster sechvi, one who sees. Where'd I go? Lekala ninfe meikra yefei nof misos kol haaretz. The reason a kala was called ninfe is based on the pasuk yefei nof. It means the sightful one, the one that's worth seeing. That's the idea of kala. Okay. ולתרנגול צחבי, אמר ביהודה אמר רבי, תאמה, והיא בית תאמה, אמר בישוע בן לוי, מי קרא, משת בטוחות חוכמה, ומי נתן לצחבי בינה, משת בטוחות חוכמה, אלו כליות, says, who placed wisdom in the depths, in the covered up areas, in the smooth areas, that's the כליות, that's the internal gut that you have, that knows things. That's mishat batuchot chokma. Who placed wisdom in your guts, in the smooth guts that a person has? O minatana sechvi bina zetarnegol. Who gave wisdom to the sechvi? That's talking about the rooster that we learned from the people of Ken Neshalia. Levi ikra lahu atra. Levi reached a certain place. Ata gavra lekamei amarle. A person came before Levi and said to him, Kaban planya. So-and-so was koveami. What does it mean he was koveami? It means he stole from me. But Levi didn't know what the man was talking about. Lohave yada maika male. Levi didn't know, what's the guy telling me? Atashal be medrisha. So he asked in the base medrash, what does he mean when he says Levi was koveami? Amri le gazlan amar lach. He means so-and-so stole from me. Dichtiv haikma adam elokim. The verse says in Malachi, Hashem says, can man steal from God? אמר לי רבא מברניש לרבשי, איהבה איהתה מהווה מין עלי, היכי קווחה, במאי קווחה, במאי קווחה. וממילא הווה ידענה. Rava says, Rava from Bernish tells Ravashi, why didn't Levi just question him a little bit, and then he would have figured it out. He would have said, how was he kovayu, with what was he kovayu, why was he kovayu, even if you don't know what a word means, use it, and then from the context, you'll figure out what the guy is talking about. And Levi didn't want to start discussing it with him, because Levi thought, maybe he's talking about something prohibited. Maybe we shouldn't spend so much time talking about it. The Mishnah says, if you read the Megillah, Serugin, so the rabbis didn't know, what does the word Serugin mean? Shamu alamta de Rebbe, de chazantinu l'rabanan d'avuai l'piski piski. Then they heard the maid in Rebbe's house. She was quite a woman. We learned some halachas from her. So she saw the rabbis entering before Rebbe, and they'd enter, you'd have a flow of students, and then they'd stop, and then you'd have more students coming in, then they'd stop. Amralu, so she said to the students, "Ad matay tam nichnasin serugin serugin." So when are you going to keep coming in piecemeal? So then they understood that serugin means piecemeal. Lo aviyad rabanan may chalog logut. They didn't know what chaluglugut are. Yom achad ha-shamu alamta de be-rebi de chazit lo-gava de kamevader parpachina. One time they saw the maid of Rebbe. She saw a person who was he was scattering a certain vegetable called parpachina. Amra lei an matay tam fazer chaluglugecha. She told him, to when will you scatter your chaluglugot? So they understood that chaluglugot are that vegetable. La'aviyad ravanan mai salsileh utromimecha. They didn't know what the verse means when it says salsileha. If you do that to the Torah, which really means if you search in the Torah, tromimecha, the Torah will uplift you. So they didn't know what the word salsileha means. Yomachad ha-shamu alamta de be-rebi. So once they heard Rebbe's maid saying, davamit lahu gavra, davah kamapich besarei. There was a guy who was busy twirling his hair, making curls in his hair. So she said to him, amra le'ad matay atam salsel besarecha. So when are you going to do your silsil in your hair? So they understood that silsil means to turn over and over. So then they understood when the Pasuk says, salsileh utromimecha, means keep turning the Torah over in your head, keep searching it, and you'll figure it'll raise you. Now, the rabbis didn't know what that Pasuk means. Literally means, I will sweep it with the sweep of destruction. But they didn't know what it means, titetia b'matateh shmid. Once they heard Rebbe's maid, that she said to her friend, take the broom and sweep the house. So they understood that she's calling the broom teitita, that matate is a broom, teitita means to sweep. They understood what it means. The rabbis didn't know what the pasuk means. Throw on Hashem Yehovcha, your weight, and he will sustain you. I was once walking with an Arab. I was carrying a load. Take your load and put it on my camel. So he called my load Yehavcha, Yehavcha. So I understood that Yehavcha is a load. So then the pasuk says, Ashlech al Shem Yehavcha, it means throw on Hashem your load. Why not? Definition of a word, why not?
If Pasuk says, how come they didn't know the word? They need to, they didn't know what the end of the bowl?
Yeah, I think so.
Until they just found randomly people and we just kind of, go make the sponge and stop telling them, hey, how are things?
How did they lose the tradition of what the word means?
Well, maybe they weren't learning Tanakh so frequently. Maybe the Rebbe assumed they knew. There are a lot of things that I read and I assume you know, or I assume my son knows, and I only realize later that it wasn't understood. I said things in shiur. Sometimes I get emails, how'd you say this, that, or the other thing, and it didn't dawn on me someone would understand it the way I said it. I said it one way, the understanding that people know what I mean, and then suddenly I realized, no, they don't know what I mean. So if your Rebbe assumes you know it, so he, some things are obvious to people, and they don't know to explain it.
They grow up, become very smart people, rabbis?
You find that rabbis sometimes didn't know certain things in Pshat and the Pesukim. Why is that so difficult?
These were talking about big people.
Right, but they, if you don't have a tradition, if you didn't get the tradition of each word, Yoav's Rebbe mistaught him. Yoav wanted to kill his Rebbe. Yoav went to war and he didn't kill the women of Amalek. Because his Rebbe taught him, Timche es Zohar Amalek. Only kill the males of Amalek. Comes back to David and David asks him, what'd you do? He says, what do you mean? I did what the Pasuk says. He says, what are you talking about? It says, Timche es Zohar. Ah, it says Zohar? Yoav drew his sword and went riding to his Rebbe and said, how dare you? You mistaught me. What? Yoav was right. Sure he was right. So,